This is Notepad. I'm your host, Ibrahim Sani. We're entering the last few episodes of this year, and so it's important to take stock into what has happened over the past 2 years because of the pandemic, but more importantly, try to think about what will take place next year and how should we prepare for that. Because of this, it's important for us to take stock on the mental health issues, on well-being, on nutritional issues. And because of this, I have the pleasure to invite Preston Sean So, the Executive Director of Nutriba, a homegrown Sabah-based company, spearheading the sustainable farming movement in agriculture as well as wellness. Preston, thanks for taking the time to speak with us.
Hi. Hi, Brian. Thank you for having us on board.
You know, The thing about this interview is, for instance, you know, you're from Sabah, you're in KL. We would have loved to do this face to face. Due to last minute COVID restrictions, we have to do this online. That is emblematic of how the whole past 2 years have always been, if you ask me.
Yes, exactly.
And because of that, there is a spike, a rise in issue of mental health, loneliness issues, loss of collaboration, children growing up not to know how to collaborate with their peers, so many issues that we have now become familiar with. So I want to talk to you about the COVID-19 fatigue and how to beat that. But of course, before we jump to all that, perhaps you can share with us a little bit about Nutriba, what you guys stand for, what are your values when it comes to trying to build sustainable farming methods.
So the name Nutriba derives from the word nutritious Sabah. So what we did is that we consolidated all our private resources into a singular platform to offer directly B2C and as well as to the global e-commerce. But what was being done is that we amalgamated and put together a blueprint, a smart organic blueprint, which is also in line with the Sustainable Development Goals of UN, the 17 of them. And what we want to do is that to use this blueprint to help a next future generation of farmers. Give it to them, to share to them, so that we can farm sustainably and also identify the economic crops to put us in the global superfood producer standpoint. But the thing is this, as we grew for the past 1 year, then of course the whole wellness industry is coming into play as well. Like wellness tourism has been hitting $1 trillion industry. It stands 6% of the whole tourism industry globally, but it gives out 18% in receipt, meaning to say that it's a higher paid industry. So what we did is that we amalgamated and we integrated smart farming together with the wellness day. It is something that a lot of high skyscrapers country cannot offer when it comes to natural environment, mega biodiversities, but it is something that us Malaysians as well as Sabah could offer in terms of our natural climate as well as our natural mega biodiversities. So instead of understanding just by the farming itself, there's a lot of things that comes in the whole value chain, which is you have to do the upstream, the middle stream, the downstream. So the whole wellness reason for people to come over, they could come to a place that they have a direct farm to plate experience. And also with pure oxygen. That's why we want to create the green lungs, the world's largest green lungs. So nonetheless is that people can come here to enjoy such a clean air quality over in Sabah because it's untampered as well. So these are the things that we really spearhead, and we took the forefront initiative to market Malaysia as well as Sabah to the world stage.
So how long have you guys been doing this?
We started last year, July, actually. So we're barely 1 year and about 4 months old.
Okay, building a business during a pandemic, it must be a bit different from building a business during normal times, from fundraising to collaborating with some of your stakeholders to trying to build something together, even with your peers, your founders. Talk to us through the kind of challenges that you had to overcome during this pandemic building phase of the business.
One thing is, of course, during the whole infrastructure development, we face supply chain disruptions globally, like machinery.
We still do face global.
Yeah, challenges. Actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Even until now, like, we pioneer in kale, the superfood kale, as well as Satchai and G. So, like, machinery takes 3 times longer to to deploy, and construction materials takes even longer time due to interstate travel bans. So there's a lot of challenges like that. And nonetheless, also reskilling and upskilling our farmers to push them to go digital, that is another challenge that we face, as well as the internet infrastructure for Sabah as well. That is one of the very, very main challenges that we face throughout the whole pandemic. And also, there is a lot of things that we have to mobilize. Like back then, there's no more retail. We have to come up with a business model that is sustainable in terms of pandemic proof. We have to cater to them, do deliveries, or create better accessibilities to them. So these are the few pain points that we have to go through.
You know, speaking of which, I cannot imagine building a business in a more trying time. And of course, if you can overcome these very difficult moments, I'm pretty sure it should be, at least in theory, kind of a smooth sailing journey in a non-pandemic environment. Do you have that feeling that that's going to be the case for you guys, that the worst is now, and that when, as we move into an endemic situation, it becomes a little bit easier for the business to progress even further?
Yeah, the thing is this, back then, before the pandemic happened, everybody's like really either scaling up or accelerating. But what we took in turn is that while the world is at pause, most likely 50% of people were demotivated, they were at pause, they were depressed, suicide rates were high. But we took it in a very optimistic way. When the world is at wait, we move even faster. So like what you've just mentioned, when the pandemic comes, we are more than ready to cater. And it is a trend that we have studied, we have analyzed as well, that especially in the superfood category, that it's booming. And also wellness industry, which is coming up with a compound annual growth rate of more than 6.5% annually by the Global Wellness Institute, GWI. So once it's over, expected to be next year Q2 or even Q4, then we're more than ready to cater.
You touched on two big mega trends. One is wellness. We'll jump into that later on in the interview because that's one of the core crux of the conversation that I want to have. But the earlier part that you talk about, which is another mega trend, you were referring to it as superfood. Am I correct?
Yeah, superfoods.
All right. Like, go through what do you mean by that?
So kale, it's very self-selling and self-explanatory. Like, there's a lot of people, especially in the United States, Europe, they're all crazy about kale due to its high anti-cancer compounds, very rich in minerals, as well as the sacha energy, which is the sustainable oil for the future. In terms of like, we have always been getting healthy fats, which is omega 3, 6, and 9 from fishes, right? So fishes are from sea. But then the thing is, sea nowadays are not as clean as it was before. It was highly polluted with plastics or oil tank spillovers, which in turn, that leads us to consume mercury hidden. So with the whole shift of people going plant-based as well. So sacha energy is a plant that contains omega 3, 6, and 9 after being cold-pressed. So it's a plant-based, 100% organic omega 3, 6, and 9 oil. So this is the oil that it is sustainable, and it is also in line with the current plant-based movement where people are more health-conscious, especially over in the States, and it's coming towards Asia as well. Then kale, we are in the center of the equator within the earth. So we are in the best environment to actually grow them. See, so with these two being said, is that we can revive. And with the blueprint that we mentioned earlier, is that we can really revive the green economy, and we can really take the initiative to spearhead this whole in green economy. And nonetheless, not only in this industry, we integrate it with the wellness industry when people come over, so that you can have farm to plate experience and whatnot. Then after that, when you were to go back to your hometown or whichever country that you come from, you could still purchase our locally grown superfood straight over to your country via e-commerce. So that is the thing, that how we integrate it all into a singular platform.
Looking back at the supply chain that you were elaborating, not just from the products that you make, but of course the experience that the consumers that you're targeting can actually experience. I'm sure there is this demand is big and quite insatiable following the pandemic. All this constitute to a company that might be attractive to investors. What's the story when it comes to fundraising and your investors? Are you getting any headway in that realm?
There are quite an amount of investors that actually approached us, but as of now, we're a bootstrap company. So,
And why is that? You don't like money or?
No, look, it's just that because we really want to create a better lifestyle for our farmers. So as of now, we do not want to have our management being re-coordinated or restructured in any way, or that it is being impacted or influenced. Because what we had is that we within our whole supply chain, we don't have any third party, meaning to say from the farm to the factory, to the end consumer, even to logistics, to the marketing, it's all within our own ecosystem, private resources. Then with that being said, is that we upskill and reskill our farmers and also creating a lot of job opportunities with no restrictions. And our vision is very, very vast and very, very rapidly growing. So unless and until we reach the end goal, the end point, then of course, we will look into more investors now. But as of now, we are still very, very young. Yeah,
yeah, of course. There's a lot of space to grow. Before we go into that break, I just want to ask you one more question, which is on empowering your farmers. Some fresh farm producers globally, they opt for the cooperative movement where they empower their farmers. They become part shareholder. Yes. Is that something that you guys are doing or something that you guys are looking at?
Yeah, that's exactly where we're going, that we want to bring the conventional way of contract farming, to erase it, but to reinvent something called smart partnership, which is equal partnership. So we and the farmers are actually equal partnership. So we work for them and they work for us as well. So that is what we're trying to establish. And also a new category, which is farmers shouldn't be called poor farmers anymore. There should be a category of professional farmers, sustainable, smart organic farmers.
All right. We'll go for one short break. When we come back, we'll discuss a little bit more with Preston of NutriBar. Welcome back. This is Notepad. I have with me on the line Preston Sean So, the Executive Director of NutriBar. Preston, we are talking not just about the new business, but the business of sustainable farming, empowering your stakeholders in the form of smart partnerships. But of course, the big idea right now is on the issue of wellness. A lot of people are now trying to understand a bit better about how to live better, live longer, eat healthier. And while this has been an ongoing trend, this has been enunciated even further because of the pandemic. And I think you're tapping into not just a particular segment of the market where things are good. You know, I'm talking about people that can actually buy food, buy good food, because they don't have financial constraints, but people who are in the middle of the economic strain that is now still trying to find alternatives or substitutes, even though they might be financially constricted, but still try to find substitutes for healthier products, healthier way of living. Do you feel that this market share in terms of potential customers is actually increasing because of the awareness that has been raised following the pandemic, or it's something else that you feel is driving the possible demand from an offering that you guys are doing right now?
The whole pandemic definitely has pushed the shift towards them being more health conscious. We see a positive growth on that. And to top it up is that we entered the market with a very, very competitive price. So to speak, in Sabah, we actually entered the market in 30% lower price compared to the previous organic markets. And in about a year time, we managed to push it down the market price by 36%. So it was hovering somewhere between 18 ringgit a kilo for fresh vegetables, but we entered it at 11.40. And now it's hovering between 12 to 13 ringgit a kilo. So that is a value that we have created to consumers as well. And to accommodate that, it's complemented by the whole pandemic shift for the trend of them being more health conscious. And therefore, we could really see demand goes up very rapidly, together with our price competitiveness, accessibility, that we have made it more accessible in every other districts, plus the whole pandemic, it's a great combo.
But you guys are operating in an integrated economy, integrated market. You guys can't possibly be immuning yourself or ring-fencing yourself away from rising food prices, rising cost, increasing inflation. So how do you intend to address that kind of rising cost concerns to a point where you still want to be profitable and sustainable, not just sustainable growing food, but sustainable business, while at the same time, you know, just managing that kind of expectations from your customers who are already familiar with the pricing strategy that you guys are offering right now?
So for that is that what we had a breakthrough is we have this smart organic blueprint that we mentioned. We harvest the natural energy via our solar panels. So our greenhouse are fully solar integrated and the water are naturally harvested and the fertilizers and soil are being recirculated in a sense. So we harvest 10 tons every week and 30% will go to waste after QC, quality control, before it reaches the customer. So these 30% are being fed to our vermicompost, which turns in fertilizers for the future crops. So in terms of cost management, we had a huge breakthrough, also accompanied by Internet of Things together with it. That is how we can offer at a very competitive price and also very, very precise. So these are the things that we're really trying to share because it's nothing very new in the market, but it is very, very underutilized by many, many farmers and many, many industry players. So we are more than willing to share to all the value chains for this particular breakthrough and this particular smart organic farming blueprint that we have here.
And of course, how do you intend to grow your business knowing that the demand is there? Sabah is a beautiful place, perhaps one of the most beautiful places I myself have been to personally. But the market is, of course, here in this part of town, in KL, in Penang, in JB. This is just domestically. We haven't even touched Singapore, Jakarta, other regional markets, Bangkok. So what's the plan there?
So as of now, we have stirred up community movement in terms of from Sabah. That's why our brand name is called Nutrisa Sabah.
It's the Ba part is important, which is La, I guess.
Yeah, it is. But the picture is bigger because we are all Malaysians at the end of the day. So it's like we want to have an iconic crop, which is the sacha enchi and kale. It's like how, they've been importing kales from Australia and they've been leveraging and utilizing on the MOU that signed the fair trade between Malaysians and Australia. But the thing is, Australian produce has been coming in, but we are in the natural and perfect environment to grow such produce. Why aren't our produce been going out? And why are we still buying at 180 ringgit a kilo where we could farm them locally and to offer to the consumers at easily at 45 ringgit a kilo?
That's right.
Which is four times the price. So these are the few things that I know that for a fact that we will realize this part, but it takes a lot of movement and drive, especially on our end and community, to realize that all these things can be farmed and it's available locally. And it's even in better in quality because there's less change of hands. So nonetheless, with this being said, when tourists come over, when they come to our wellness place to stay in the resorts and whatnot, so this is where we introduce them directly physically. And that is how we create more and more awareness. And that is how we can slowly expand. So via cross-border e-commerce for a start for the next 2 years. Then they could, after they buy it or they have consumed it firsthand here in our land and soil, they could purchase it over back in their countries just via e-commerce.
What about the inculcation of a family kind of situation, you know, parents with young kids? Is there any plans for that?
In what sense?
In the sense that your wellness center accommodates for, you know, children and perhaps try to instill these values, at a very young age.
Yeah, so if for children, like nowadays, we try to get them away from their mobile phones, first things first, get them be more connected to the world. But what we did is that we modernized not only farming, but also the whole wellness feeling. So the most important thing is that the under 30s, the below 30s are coming up. You see, the millennials are coming up and they urge and they want to be digitally connected via their phones. So it's a wellness place, but it's digitally connected. So you can still scroll your Instagram, your Facebook, you can still upload it. So in many ways, that is actually a good thing because it creates more brand exposure as well for Malaysia. Like people can know Malaysia more, where is an infrastructure compared to before. There are so many nice places, but what they can only do is to take photos. And if they choose not to upload it, then it's gone, hidden forever. But if it's in real time, they could either do live stream, they could either do posting stories. And we're even looking into a 6D e-commerce where we can VR our place, and they can purchase it from China. They can visit it via 6D before they even come here. So these are the things that we are really trying to connect and integrate with this whole wellness industry.
All right, one more break with Preston of Nutriba. We'll be right back after these messages. Thanks for staying on. I have with me Preston Sean So, the Executive Director at Nutriba. Let's talk a little bit more about COVID-19 fatigue. It has been quite the struggle for many of us. And of course, some of us has it worse than most. And this has affected the mental and physical state of our health nationwide. And a lot needs to be done when it comes to retraining us to come back to where we were at before. Teenagers particularly have a very a hard time, particularly when it comes to loneliness issues. For adults, there's a lot of us that lost our jobs. You know, when we talk about the downside of this pandemic, there's plenty. And while many of us are still enjoying, you know, working from home and other circumstances that allow us to do so, many of us do not have that kind of luxuries. What's your idea when it comes to increasing the potential of improving wellness through tourism industry, through wellness programs, through sustainable eating or diet? You know, there are solutions out there. What kind of outreach do you want to share with your solutions that you have right now with those that are currently trying to find how to get back on their feet following the endemicity scenario right now?
Many have lost their jobs and many have even adapted to working from home. Some entered into depression state as well. So for the endemic, what wellness industry could do is that if you were to come over, you can rejuvenate yourself. You can get yourself reconnected, maybe alone or even with your family and friends. But what we are seeing here is this. We provide you the mental support and also the environment that lets you feel relaxed and to rejuvenate and to let you feel connected again to the world. So there is also a community that is within the whole wellness industry. So these communities that people, when they come over, we have a whole day package that you start your day with yoga, then after you eat clean, then you can exercise, you can go for a hiking trail with a lung cleansing. So these are the things that really helps all the individuals. Like what we've experienced is this, like people who are very, very down, they chose this wellness tourism package for a reason, right? So after the 2 days, after the 3 days, all of them literally felt happier, more light. They felt refreshed. It's as if they've hit the restart button, and they start to realize that living in a very conducive environment it's actually very enlightening, and eating organic food is actually very different. Like after the 3 days of consuming only organic food, fruits and juices and whatnot, then they were to go back to the conventional restaurants. Like we receive texts like, "Hey, we miss the food," because they seem to be able to taste the differences in it. So these are the things that it will give you a whole new different experience if you were to go. Then breathing in, and like the whole carbon footprint thing is going on, especially after Glasgow. And many people from huge metropolitans, they don't get to really enjoy fresh air. They don't really get to be connected to mountains, seas, hiking trails, and you know, lakes, things like that. But when they do, it's a refresh button, that's for sure.
Fantastic. Preston Sean So, Executive Director at Nutriba. Again, Preston, thanks for taking the time to speak with us. If you've missed any part of this interview, just head on to astroawani.com. Look for Notepad or look for Nutriba. That's B-A-H, as in Sabah for Bah. Until then, thanks very much for watching and goodbye.